All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, as you may or may not know, if you want to fly for cheap, if you want to go on vacation, you can go to an airport and say, hey, I don't care where I go. Send me somewhere.
Is this still true? Because I know it's a thing in that Simpsons episode, but...
You can get cheap flights based on cancellations. I don't think you can get... it's like free or quite as cheap.
Okay, yeah.
Because airlines are not doing super good. But no, I think you can say, like, hey, are there any... I don't think you can just go up and be like, send me anywhere. That's some weird terror shit. I think you can go up and say, like, hey, has anyone canceled? Are there any seats available for this, you know, flight? You know, or have anyone canceled on this flight or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. The idea of flying standby. Which,
yes, flying, exactly.
If the Flanders didn't know that they were going to end up going to Japan, why did they show up in kimonos?
It's a good question.
Yeah. We did that whole episode about Ready Player One without acknowledging the fact that we make all kinds of Simpsons references, which was a caveat that I wanted to make.
If this is going to come out after that, the difference is, and this is in that video I sent you, is that the people in that book don't reference things like, say, line, you know, do references like that.
Mm-hmm.
They just say things like, you know, oh, cool, like Lady Hawk, you know, sweet Space Invaders. Like, they don't actually say the lines from things.
Okay.
And when they do, they always call it out. So, like, somebody will be like, oh, what are you, the Knights who say knee? And someone will be like, nice, Holy Grail. And it'd be like, if every time you said that, you'd be like, I was like, nice, Simpsons. Right. You know, high five, bro. So, and we can start doing that if you want.
No, I'd rather we didn't.
I'm down.
I'd rather die.
I think we should probably start doing it, though. I don't know. What about people who are listening and they don't feel the kind of coolness that they like the same things we like? You know?
I mean, it's literally something Michael Scott does, Gary.
The Office.
Cool. I just wanted to get that
picking up on what you're putting down. I can read between the lines, Cole.
Okay.
So anyway, we're at an airport.
Good.
I'm gonna put us on standby here and see if the city we go to has any kind of rich, you know, like we go to New Orleans, we do Left 4 Dead 2, or we go to Japan and do Destroy All Monsters or something like that.
Yeah,
like, we have all these different games set in different places.
Fuck, I could play Destroy All Monsters. Standby.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that being fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so where are we gonna go?
I don't know. We have to wait.
No. Oh. I don't know how long this takes.
Did you bring any cards or anything with you?
I've got Uno.
Let's play some Uno.
Okay.
All right. Here comes a red. Red 7.
Okay. I've got a blue 7.
Okay. I like this. I'm going to throw down a blue 3.
Yellow 3.
Okay. Check this out. Wild draw 4.
Check this out. Rules of Poker.
Cool. Not supposed to be there.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Cool rules for draw instead of poker. You're supposed to take that out of the deck. Do it.
Like from Simpsons, specifically the episode Springfield, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love Legalized Gambling.
Nice. Simpsons. It looks like they're waving us over here.
Okay.
Let me go chat with them. I'll come back in a second. Okay. Looks like originally there was a standby flight for us to go to LA, but it's turning out that there's some kind of disaster there.
No.
They actually refunded my money, and here's a little receipt here. And just on the receipt here, it says bad day LA.
Whoa. The game computer is flying off the handle here.
Yeah. The game computer is like, finally, give me a snack. Put this in my mouth. You know, the game computer has been waiting for this bad boy.
Oofa doofa.
Let's beat it good. Oofa doofa. Oofa doofa it is. Wizzle wuzzle? Simpsons? Nice. This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross. Abject Suffering. Nice.
And this is Abject Suffering. Nice. Wizzle wazzle.
And this this episode is about American McGee presents Bad Day LA. This was a, patron demand by Paul. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. American McGee, an American classic.
Don't sign your names.
My sixth or seventh favorite Doom programmer I know the name of. I'm surprised we haven't done this before. This is an infamous number.
He's not so much a master of Doom, more like a journeyman or apprentice of Doom.
Apprentices of Doom. Yeah. This is a game. Came out in 2006, and tons of hype for this. Like, I remember hearing about this before it came out.
It was going
to remind me a lot of State of Emergency.
Yeah.
State of
Emergency, the Rockstar game that I think was fast tracked. I believe it was either fast tracked after the WHO protests that turned extremely violent. Or it was delayed after the WHO protests turned extremely violent.
One or the other.
I forget the exact causality, but it was somehow related to that in some way. In State of Emergency, I would not be surprised. This seems like a valid conspiracy theory, which is I think that Rockstar put out State of Emergency to get some heat off of Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, I can see that.
Okay, Congress, chew on this for a little while.
Yeah, even though like this has a lot of DNA with State of Emergency.
Yeah,
but State of Emergency is still a better game than this, and State of Emergency is terrible.
Okay, I was gonna say, are you gonna come out here and are you gonna be the one person who defends, let alone remembers State of Emergency?
State of Emergency. No, but it is. It's better than this though. Like State of Emergency is really terrible. I was really excited about State of Emergency because I was right up in the GTA pocket. I was like, oh, I like Rockstar games at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I was like, oh, cool, State of Emergency. This sounds cool. It's like this big open-ended chaos, you know, kind of thing. And in a city that's going to hell. And that's pretty much what this is, with a bunch of like South Park jokes added to it a little bit.
Yeah, this was a heavily
like South Park. I don't even know what kind of jokes these are.
It's pretty South Park. There's some South Park to this. Yeah, and it was heavily anticipated because if finally American McGee was going to pull the mask off of society, show us what kind of monsters we really are.
Yeah, I want him to skewer our social mores.
Yeah, I hope he tells us skewer to burn our daddy. Pants. Simpsons nice.
Yeah, I'm Simpsons nice. So American McGee was finally ready to let America have it. And the irony levels were off the charts. Inspired by him sitting in traffic in L.A., and he decided to create a game that was like, what if Postal is too smart for you?
Postal too subtle? Here's
to be subtle and too smart.
Yeah,
it's me, American.
Yeah, so you know, like, what if you had a game, whose first joke, one of the first things that it put out, okay, so premise: some people don't have a home, and they don't have a place to shit, so they're gonna do it in front of other people because they don't have another option.
It's extremely good. And like, here's the thing: out of everyone in the world, like not everyone in the world, but I am sympathetic to, like, I don't like watching homeless people shit.
Yeah,
like I live in a city.
It's very uncomfortable.
Every once in a while,
it's sad.
I'm super uncomfortable by it. Every once in a while, like I'm walking down the street and like, you know, I've talked about this before, but you have to not step in shit. It's one of the ways that life is like a game. And you look down, and you're like, that's human shit. Mm-hmm. You know, and it feels a little weird. I've talked about that. It creates a relationship between you and a person. It's like, what is this power imbalance? Is this Oz? Like, how is this power imbalance between me and your shit, you know? But I don't blame them because they don't have a home. Like, there's like a way bigger, like being like, ooh, poop should just be eclipsed by the fact that, like, oh, this person doesn't know where they're going to eat or sleep. You know? And I walk by them all the time and I don't give a shit. You know, like there's way bigger problems with this.
Yeah.
And poop gross, you know?
Yeah.
And this starts off with that, with this very like In Living Color, like, you know, like, is this like an In Living Color sketch?
I think so. What if In Living Color just had a soupçon of minstrel show to it?
Yeah. There's a really strong, weird, like minstrel show aspect to this.
Yeah.
Where he comes up, he's like, he's in traffic, which is like, all right, a little weird. Cause you know, homeless guy, but he can't get through it. And he's like, if you guys don't hurry up, you're going to see some mud butt.
Okay, so mud butt is a very funny word for diarrhea. I like that quite a bit.
It is, but it's not. It's like this, you know, bad ALA to make it up or anything.
Okay, yes.
You know, mud butt's a classic.
You know? Vintage.
Vintage mud butt. on this episode of Pop Stars.
Mud butt's my favorite blues man.
essentially, like, a plane with a frankly, like, distressingly disorganized cargo of biological weapons.
It's like a TJ Maxx in there.
It's like Ross, like, Dress for Less in the air. It crashes and turns a bunch of people into, like, rage zombies.
Right, right.
But also, there's, like, a lot of people are not infected, so they're just being violent idiots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they see their opportunity.
And it's a game where it's like kind of like GTA, where you have like a wanted level. There's like a chaos level or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you go around trying to reduce chaos and doing like really, really boring, again, kind of Grand Theft Auto-y tasks. Mm-hmm. Or you play in the sandbox and increase the chaos and risk dying.
Yeah.
And stuff. And it's cel-shaded.
Yes. A lot of the complaints about the game are like, oh, this is an ugly game. Like, the graphics in this are pretty bad. Like, if you look at the reviews at the time, like, yeah, the entire thing's janky, but the aesthetic isn't entirely off base. Like, I kind of the art style in this. Yeah.
It's no 13, but it's not bad.
13 starring David Duchovny. Nice.
Yeah. And written by Warren Ellis.
Yeah.
Like, it's no 13, but it's not bad looking cel shaded game, you know?
Yeah. I like the facial designs too. Like, they're nice and simple and broad. Like, it looks like a 3D cartoon. You know, in a way that like a 3D animated movie is not. Like, everything has a very simple, yes, cartoonish design. Big thumbs up to that.
Yep, I think so too.
Yeah.
The gameplay of it though is excruciating. Like, it's really boring. You go through like your only verb is to hit things, yes, or shoot, and that's it.
Yeah. You know, so like you're in the the falling down traffic jam at the start. The airplane hits and like some of your first tasks.
Nice. Oh.
I'm the bad guy. No. And like, you know, there's a guy who says, oh, put those people out, they're on fire. And like, oh, they're those zombies, heal them. How? Spray them with a fire extinguisher, like you did for putting them out of fire, like putting out the fire. Huh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is really weird that everything is a fire extinguisher problem.
Yes.
Like, I feel like fire extinguishers were built to address one very specific problem.
That's right there in the name.
Yeah. Like, it just, you know, making it like, oh, this also cures zombies. Yeah. Also, when people are wounded, you like punch them with a toilet paper roll in your hand. Things very strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you can fight things and stuff, but it's confusing because you're not supposed to like kill enemy. You have like frowny faces or happy faces. Mm-hmm. That come when you do things, and you're not supposed to kill enemies. Like, enemies will be fighting you. You're just supposed to hit them until they're one hit away from death and they run away.
Yeah.
But it's very easy to just like accidentally murder them.
Right.
And it does not like it. You know?
Yeah. So you're this homeless person running around, you know, with basically no reason to do anything that you're doing until you find this sick kid who the joke is. Now, let me understand. Okay, let's set up the premise here. The premise of this joke is that sometimes kids get extremely ill and they throw up. And especially when they're attacked with a biological agent, you know, something that could be fatal, they throw up at inopportune times all over the place.
Yep.
Yep.
It's that classic, classic.
Yes.
American McGee humor.
And so I believe this turns the game into an escort mission the entire game, because all, you know, we only played the demo, right? But all, like, you know, all of the cutscenes that I saw were related to rescuing this kid who is violently ill.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I think that is mostly the premise, and you do a lot of different things with it, but none of them look cool. Like, there's like a platforming segment. There's a turret section.
Yeah.
Things like that. I will be surprised if you don't deliver a pizza at some point. You know,
yeah,
that kind of bullshit. Boy, American McGee. Oof. Did you know that the American McGee Wikipedia entry gives you this mind-blowing fact that McGee is an atheist and a libertarian. Can you register your surprise on a scale of 1 to 10?
Can you say that again? Because it was just static there.
Okay. McGee is an atheist and a libertarian.
Yeah, I'm still not getting it. Weird. Huh. No.
This is, yeah.
Yeah.
This doesn't look like anything to me.
Exactly. Like, nowhere. Nowhere in my life have I encountered
anything less surprising than that. In July 2016, McGee announced the closure of Spicy Horse on Twitter. Inspired by Jacques Cousteau, he is now pursuing life at sea. Traveling, making games, and doing vlogs across Southeast Asia on a sailboat.
Cool.
And he created a Patreon for this endeavor.
If you want to fund his vacation.
Yeah, if you want to fund it. Well, he's making a new Alice game.
That's the thing. So that's his meal ticket, and that's what everybody likes American McGee for, is out the Alice game with its like visual, you know, style. Like people have a lot of affection for that. I thought that the levels were tedious, but continue.
I'm not quite. It's like what if like Tim Burton's older brother, you know, like it just, you know, Alice in Wonderland. But what if it's just a little twisted?
You know,
we hold up a dark funhouse mirror to this, like. That's his whole steez.
Yes.
And it's a bummer. I don't can't remember from Masters of Doom like what the Doom levels were that he was like really like known for, because all the Doom guys had like certain kinds of like levels that I feel like are pretty reminiscent, like,
yeah, you know,
or pretty suggestive of the kind of people they are.
So he only started doing level design on Doom 2, and Masters of Doom like precipitously falls off in detail after Doom 1, right? Like,
yeah,
it starts doing this crazy fast forward up until whatever was contemporary. So like maybe they were just like in the development phase of like Rage or something like that when that book came out. I don't think they ever really talked about what he did, but like he is part of that id cohort, even though it doesn't seem like he was with them for very long. You know, he was just doing, you know, he did Doom 2 and then like worked on Quake until he got fired.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be willing to believe that dude is not like an absolute total hack. Right? Oh, yeah. Like he left id, you know, got fired from id. You know, but then he went and worked for LA or EA and mm-hmm. made that American McGee's Alice, which I've not played, mm-hmm. but you know, people liked.
Yeah.
Like that's not an you know, in general, like, and I'm not saying this like, oh, like you didn't like it, but it's actually good. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But people do like it. It's not like considered to be trash. I don't
think. Right. Has a good reputation.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Has a good reputation and stuff. And then after that, like that was it. He was trying to make American McGee's, God, what's the, Oz.
Hmm. Yeah.
I always think of that as going to be, that's like always the Tim Burton also ran. And I'm surprised we have not gotten a Tim Burton Oz. And then we got the Great and Powerful Oz.
Yes.
Like we did essentially get a Tim Burton's Oz, which is one of the only movies I've ever fallen asleep to on a plane.
Really? Huh?
So, yeah, they had a captive audience for me. Like I'm on a plane and it's so hard for me to sleep on a plane. And I fell really quickly to sleep as soon as James Franco started fucking mugging in that movie. I was like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Fuck this.
No, he's got a real thing because I guess he worked GameTap published his Spicy Horse International game, like Grimm. It was like an episodic twisted fairy tales thing, you know.
Cool.
So cool. So again, just riding that horse. So you got Puss in Boots, Little Red Riding Hood.
He made a game called The Gate.
Is The Gate open? Nice, D-Devils.
I think the gates are nice D-Devils. I think that Big Head Bash, Crazy Fairies. Yeah, I guess there was a sequel to Alice, too. I didn't know there was an Alice Madness Returns.
Yes, so. Yeah, that was in 2011, and I think that the biggest, you know, the reviews that I read of that were like, oh, yeah, this hasn't really, like, changed an awful lot, and it feels very antiquated.
I can believe it.
Yeah.
The one of the things about Bad Day LA is I don't think it actually... Like the things you do are really boring, but mm-hmm. as far as the control and like how moving around and stuff, and even how it looks, like it doesn't seem like it's going to suck as bad as it does.
Right.
You know, like just a screenshot of it or whatever. It looks kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
It's just not.
No. You know, like the control's fine. Like it's fast, fluid. You're just kind of doing, you know, moving around with WASD. You're aiming with your, you know, with your mouse. I cannot imagine mm-hmm. playing this on the Xbox, but there we go.
That would be rough stuff.
Yeah.
It shows up on GameFAQs. It shows up on with a little, like, you know, when shows you the games you may have also heard of or care about or whatever.
Right.
It shows like right next to Stubbs, the zombie in Rebel Without a Pulse.
Oh yeah.
Which is one of the great lost games.
Yes.
Like
not great,
like good, but you know, yeah, it'll never come back.
Yeah. Never come back. I think specifically because of publisher, problems, like the engine, it was made on the Halo engine. And I think that that's locked down. And also music licensing
soundtrack.
Yeah. Because they did,
which is really interesting.
Yeah. Just like like stuff from the 1940s that you just can't really get licenses to anymore.
Well, it's not that. It's indie bands covering that stuff.
Oh shit, right.
So it's like the Shins and stuff like that covering these 40s, you know, Mr. Sandman and stuff like that. Like it was really cool. It had I played that on PC and there was a glitch that stops you from being able to beat it. It's like a game breaking and there was just no support. It was one of my first experiences like going to Steam forums and being like, how do I beat this game? And people being like, yeah, there's never going to answer this.
Right.
The developers don't care about you anymore.
Right.
And me having to be like, well, developers, my friends though, my developers not like, don't they want me to play good game? Get real good. You know,
if I defend developer, will I be a good boy?
Can I be good? Like, would I be good if I defend developer, you know? And it didn't happen.
Right.
Like I was like, no, listen, they did their best, you know, on the message board and nobody cared.
No,
like it didn't change anything. I was just like, yeah, these guys, this corporation did their best. They're trying their hardest. You know, we have to think about their perspective. Nothing happened though. Like it was really weird.
The gall. Now you can try it again. It'll be fine.
I'm going to go to the Steam page for Stubbs the Zombie now in 2019 and be like, listen, that would actually, if that was playable, that'd be a good Abject Suffering game. Because it's like, I don't want to do a waff on it.
It's pretty
tedious.
Uh-huh.
But there's enough interesting things about it to like, you know, it is an interesting game.
Yeah, 100%.
Also, Made Man: Confessions of the Family Blood, which I don't remember. Do you remember that game?
No. That seems like what is it? Wow, based Made on Man, real events. Interview with Made Man lets you assume the role of Joey Varola as he rises through the ranks of war. I'm already exhausted.
let's take a break from that exhaustion and read this review. For Bad ALA from SB2744 1X. American McGarbage defiles electronic stores once again with this atrocity. Who is American McGee and why do his products indicate disregard, if not open contempt, for quality gaming? McGee, an entity who has existed in the gaming industry in various forms since the inception of Doom 2 back in the early 90s.
An entity.
Is synonymous. Yes, he is an entity. Is synonymous with a number of titles, usually depicting an alternative take on some element of popular or historic culture. Initially placed in a formative role in level design in id Software's FPS titles such as Quake and Quake 2, McGee quickly vacated the house that Carmack built in favor of a John Romero-like position where he could emphasize style over substance. Ensure memorable gameplay could be kept to an absolute minimum. After brief flirtations with a number of excursions in mediocrity, such as Postal 2 and Scrapland, he's involved in Postal 2.
Was it?
I think so.
I don't think he's.
I don't think it's one of his main games, but I think. Yeah, let me see.
Yeah, it's not on his. It's not on his credits on Moby Games.
I thought by throwing a thing. Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah.
I know Scrapland. That's my. I thought he was related to it in some way. I thought I heard his name in relation to it in a thing. I was watching about Postal. But anyway, this guy's real mad. American McGee.
Oh, he's got a bunch. He's got stuff. This is one that I earmarked. Let's see here. There is simply nothing enjoyable about this game. It is unimpressive as a video game, unimpressive as a social. I just agree with this. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's correct, but he's pretty mad.
Yeah, he's real mad.
And that's all I really got, you know.
Yeah.
And this is kind of his actual thing as far as reviews go.
Mm-hmm.
Like he likes a couple things. You know, way into Painkiller, way into Soldier of Fortune 2 Double Helix, but less into Left Behind Eternal Forces, less into Mega Man X5.
Yeah.
You know, less into Soldier of Fortune. He's a big Soldier of Fortune guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't like Payback, but he loves Double Helix.
He really loves that realistic gore.
I don't know anything about those games.
Yeah, that was their thing. They're just kind of like standard late 90s, early 2000s first person shooters. But the idea was that like it had a mutilation system in it. So like if you shot somebody in the leg, it would expose their leg meat like that. Like it is entirely
chiller.
Yeah. It was just entirely all about that gore. And I think they tried to, you know, bring a little bit of complexity to it, but it was real one trick pony. I almost said one note pony, which makes no sense.
I think that American McGee's as a prefix should take over. Like when people do their, like when they, there's people are always doing suffix shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like someone, a blank, a machine for pigs. Yeah.
Yeah. Blank back in the habit, blank, you know, electric boogaloo.
Right.
Just change that instead of being like a sister act to, you know, electric boogaloo, American McGee's sister act. Like, I think that's much better, right? Like,
yeah.
To start adding American McGee to the beginning of things instead of, you know, those things to the end of it.
Can we make that happen? Everybody.
Like, I don't know if we can make that happen, Cole. Like, okay, give me your pitch. Like, what happens to the sister, and like, what dark twisted take on the sister act extended universe are you imagining?
Well, first off, you know, Whoopi Goldberg, when she's trying to get away from the gangster, she puts on the habit and it fuses to her skin. Guess what? It's okay. A demon pretending to be a habit. And every time she goes to sleep, she's taken to boom, 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 the confessional, where she has to listen to the sins and then walk through a world that is informed. But
by those sins, like the people confess a sin and then she has to actually like go act it out or something.
Yeah. So there's seven levels based off of, you know, greed, sloth, all that kind of stuff. And at the end, she has to kill God and become God.
Yeah. Even though God, it has to be fake, because as an atheist and libertarian, you know, American McGee wouldn't have this. So it can be a demon. And then when you get to God, it's actually like, who is the great and powerful Oz, you know, behind the computer? It's not actually Jesus Christ or something like that, or a man with a beard. You know, it's probably like a dollar sign.
Yep.
Or something like that. Like
all
a big
dollar
sign. Yeah, Simpsons. Nice. It might be a dollar sign or something like that. Or perhaps like it's like Reagan. You know, like a Reagan made of dollar signs.
Yep.
The sheriff of Creighton. I'm the sheriff of Creighton AIDS. I'm here to Creighton AIDS. So yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Done. American McGee's sister act.
There we go. Print it. No, what I was asking if we could make happen was you know, just American McGee presents Boss Baby or something, you know?
Yeah.
Ask our listeners once a day.
Presents the Pono.
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine it's just the take on a lossless format?
So, okay, everybody, once a day, prepend American McGee presents onto something. Do that for a week and report back. Tell me how many of your loved ones you alienate.
Yeah, but they had to ask, like, American McGee, I know those are words, but that's not a name, you know? And just, do you think, like, it feels a little bit like he got hired to work on it because of his name?
I think so, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, not saying he has no talent at all, but, like, it just feels like it's a lot of name appeal.
Yeah, and you know, and you have to wonder, would he put his name in front of things, even if it was not a distinctive name like that? The answer is yes.
Yeah,
I think the answer is.
Yeah, I mean, but we would, maybe the things wouldn't be as successful though.
Maybe
like American McGee's Dark Alice or whatever. Yeah. It does sound more evocative than, you know,
Greg Harris's John Alice.
Yeah, yeah, Alice. Who's Okay. Yeah, who's this
Greg
is great.
Harris.
You know, go Greg. Yeah. Yeah. Who's Greg? No.
Yeah.
They're suffering. Nice.
We generally don't look at this on Game Facts, but I want to make sure that people understand just how much of a product of its time this was. If you go to the cheats, and you look at it, you know, you've got a couple of things. Here's some of the cheats. So you hold control and then you type a couple of things out. So all levels unlocked is hold control and then Bali, BALI.
Oh, I didn't look at these.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the other commands are WMD, GWB, Terror, and Jihad.
Yep.
You
do a jihad to get unlimited ammo.
Yeah.
And it, like, these cheats are the least racist thing about the game.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We didn't really talk about how racist this was, but it's exceedingly racist.
Yep.
The main character is a real minstrel show.
Yeah.
You know, we mentioned that. So like, you all don't want to see mud, but you got a whoop whoop whoop. You know. He's just real dippy dappy.
Yeah.
You know, wuzzle wuzzle. Nice. And then the but you also run into a broad array of racial caricatures in this game.
My impression is for like the back half of the game, you're going up against like a Mexican gang, and it is the most like it is the broadest like whatever you're picturing as the depiction of a Mexican gang and American McGee presents Bad Day. Yeah, go broader.
American
McGee's
political landscape, you know. American McGee's modern American political landscape.
Yeah, go broader.
American McGee, you're on. Yeah, exactly. It's way, way worse. Finally get to watch this. I've ordered a transcript of American McGee on American McGee's American Experience from PBS, from American McGee's PBS, where they're launching American McGee's Sesame Street.
Yeah. I mean, American McGee's Sesame Street, obviously, Oscar the Grouch is the main character, right?
Yeah. I was just thinking it would just be the Puppet Cum Murders or whatever that movie was.
Oh, the Puppet Cum Murders.
That's about right.
Like Puppet Cum would just be, I don't know, like Cotton Balls.
It's string. It happens a lot in the trailer for it. You've seen the trailer.
I haven't seen the fucking trailer for half. What kind of life do you think I live?
When they go see movies every once in a while.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Like, it's like you have to go see garbage to see it. But the you know, like they remember they showed the trailer and stuff, and at one point he comes and it just like shows Silly String like shooting out of this puppet dick for like quite a while in a twisted kind of, you know, extremely twisted, you know, funhouse mirror. Only American McGee can give us that kind of puppet dick.
Yeah,
you know, I don't want a Jim Henson puppet dick. I twisted all the creators of Doom. So like, you know, John Carmack's puppet dick would be orderly and
I mean, of course, it would have a bunch of different textures on it, and it'd be slightly shiny.
I've created a way to have multiple vas deferens tubes create the same level of load to the same aperture.
And if I move this, if I move this slider, you can see the vascularity of the tissue.
Exactly, and you can see how it changes. Now I'm here to make come in space. Mm-hmm. See ya. And then he goes in a rocket, leaves. And then you get John Romero's puppet come. You know, and that's like as soon as like sunglasses, you know,
right?
Guitar riff, and just balls to the wall. So much come, you know.
I mean, like the sunglasses. I'm literally just imagining somebody taking sunglasses and putting them above their dick, like the dick is a nose.
This is not your mama's puppet come. And then you've got Sandy Peterson's like labyrinthine kind of annoying puppet come that tries to tell a story. Like it sprays out like alphabet soup and it begins as like a novel, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I think
those are the programmers I know the name of. Tom Hall. Tom Hall is like, you know, ambitious story based.
I mean, it might literally just be like just a Muppet.
Yeah, it's Tom Hall. It'd be like
weirdly wholesome puppet dick.
Yeah, that's what he was trying to get across with Anachronox. That's what the sequel would have been.
Oh yeah.
Unfortunately, we couldn't. We couldn't see that. American McGee, Tom Hall's Anachronox.
10 years ago on the message board for this, we got our buddy Kingman _73 topic, this game ... and then the body is so funny.
There's always people on these boards where like I just bought this. Like I hate this one, the Flame Devil 999 thing. One of my least favorite game facts message board thing, where it's like, so I just bought this game as the topic, but it doesn't tell me anything else.
Right.
And then he just says that he bought it and he's installing it.
And then he doesn't report back.
No discussion. We don't report back or anything like that, but
geez.
That kind of shit's obnoxious.
Yeah. I also don't like the ones where people like say, I got this game for this price.
That was a real thing.
Yeah, they're just real insecure about like, did I pay too much for this? Or like, hey everybody, I found a good deal on this old game. Like, and it's always like exceedingly little. Like, I just got an out of box copy of this for $3. Like, yeah. Dog, that's, yeah, okay. That's Pugsy for a Sega Genesis. Come on.
You're paying Pugsy prices for American McGee quality? I like this one, this message board here. Yeah, where Divine Striff says, I own these boards, slash dance. And then Board Hunt pops in, not so fast, sir.
calm down. Like,
yep. Like, perhaps I own this board. I also like this guy typed in Umphrey McGee and got this board.
Who's Umphrey McGee?
It's a jam band.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, he seems to be real enthusiastic about Umphrey McGee.
He loves Umphrey McGee.
Yeah.
You know, enough to Google it. If you like the show, or thank you, Paul.
Yes, thank you.
Very much so. What can people do if they like this show?
This was also suggested by Mike. Actually, it was put into the machine.
Oh, thank you, Mike, as well.
Yeah. So if you like the show, you can be like Paul. You can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. And, you know, if you got the cash, you can, you know, request a game like this. Or give what give what you can, whatever fits. And it makes a big difference for us. And you get, I think, cool stuff in return. Like at $5. Yep. Guess what, buddy? You got 2 extra episodes of the show a month.
Absolutely. Yeah. And as well as Bonfireside Chat and a bunch of cool other stuff. Mm-hmm. It's all good. You can also rate and review the show. You can tell your friends about it. That's very appreciated. If you like this show and you know, you're at that $5 level and you're like, this is good. I like getting 2 extra episodes per month. There is like almost 100 old episodes of it that you get at the $10 level. We call the fire, you know, fire hose level.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can get a bunch of episodes, and some of our best stuff is in that that feed, we believe.
I think so. We got some like even other shows that you might not have heard. Recently we put out an episode of Adaptation Decay about Carmen Sandiego. We looked at two different adaptations of that, and that was a lot of fun to do. So if you're nostalgic for Carmen Sandiego, go and indulge in that nostalgia, because it is wholesome and good.
Yeah, much more wholesome than most of what we do.
Yes. Although we do spend a good amount of time talking about what it would be like to be in a relationship with the chief.
There's no, like, that is surprisingly sexless, though. It's like mostly about like
how much we respect her.
I'm a nerd poor auteur, and I only want the smart girls. Chris Klein, nice.
Nice.
Carmen Sandiego, nice. Yeah. Yeah. Anywho, thanks everybody. And, until next time, who is Bad Dog? LA.
No such thing.